Okay, let's move to this other part. Let's put it in this way. There is a natural tendency that is very natural for a person that talks a lot in terms of process, right? For a person that makes all these drawings, and even in the 70s were doing this this drawing in the 70s, and later on and later on. There is a natural predisposition, let's call it like that, towards the formalization of these things. What does it mean, formalization? Find the system of rules that govern that. So, if intrinsically a kind of idea that can bring to the formalization. What does it mean, the formalization? Not make the form, means make the structure explicit. Make the structure that generates this idea explicit. It's a natural predisposition, you understand? Because of course, if I'm doing projects, taking pieces of clay and making like that, and down, boom, boom, and then you have another approach, a physical approach. If you do other things, you know, in architecture, it's not necessarily you are predisposed towards a kind of formalization about these things. So it's natural, in a way, that a kind of algorithmic kind of thinking, let's put it like that, that you can kind of formalize certain pattern of thinking, it is basically present there, independently if there is or not the computer. The computer is the actuator of a kind of algorithmic kind of thinking that can be completely independent by the fact that there is or there is not. You understand? Right? Because it's a kind of mental predisposition. So in a way, it is rather logical that the guys of the new generation, already at the beginning of the 90s, they started to be interested in the computer, and they brought within this conceptual environment the strength of the computer, not to do AutoCAD, but to formalize this kind of process. So, the people of the new generation that was at the Eisman Studios were people that were bringing this type of culture from bottom up. And also, Peter Eisman was one of the studio that were selected to be a kind of first use of some new generation software. Particularly FormZ in the 90s was one of the first computer environment that were done not in terms of the productive machinery type of thinking that was that one that generates AutoCAD, that was not a generating, was a representation, but instead something closer to the way that architects thinking. So FormZ was one of the first, not the really the first, but one of the first. And in Studio Eisman, they had free copies from developer in terms of testing and stuff to use, etc. So within that context, Peter Eisman, all along the second part in the 90s and the beginning of the year 2000, he was really kind of interested in thinking how the formalism, no, the formalism I think I don't find another word in English to say the set of rules, in a way, you know, the formalization of rules that are, in a way, already built in his approach to architecture, can be, in a way, implemented or used or inserted in the process of design. Now, this is a whole story that we are going to talk a little bit about that, but this, mainly this is. So probably the point that is the highest point of this thinking, in which these aspects become important, it is this church that is probably the masterpiece, actually. Now, I know a lot of things about this project, for the simple reasons that several people that worked with me and wrote books with me, they were really young architects developing in Eisman's studio this project. So I know lots of things about that. For example, Christian and Maria Rita Perbellini were as a young architect in Eisman's studio. Luca Galofalo was more or less there too, while this project was developed. And in a way, this specific project, it is a real implementation about that. Now, let's see what happened here. And here, to understand certain things, you probably start to think that he was working with this idea of the, also about the idea of the computer. First of all, let's see the thing from one side. This is a rather interesting sequence, that you understand from this sequence that the approach to it, I have to zoom and make it a bit more complex, and you understand that in a way there are some of the people working in the studio, because you have to understand the parallel path, as I described before, but there were somebody that were approaching it through a kind of classical typological type of thing. So, let's say this is the kind of typical typology, then deformation of it creates some ideas that will incorporate the project. These are probably thinking that are as parallel to it. While this is an approach that goes through the typology kind, typical distribution typology, this instead going more in the type of idea that we saw, the field of forces, vibrational organization, but here we see a very interesting thing, that in a way this is really an hybridation. On one side there is that idea that comes from Adid that I told you before, that landscape, that architecture is at the end a kind of conformation of landscape. So that is one idea. And you remember the algorithm of Clay. We call it the Clay algorithm, okay? On the other side, there is the Ball algorithm, that are the hybrid together, that is the idea of the oscillation and movement. So, there are the two ideas are combined here. No? You can see the thing from one side as an orographic landscape form, but you can see on the other side as a kind of oscillation movement, okay. And then you see that here. What is the result? The result is an interesting architecture. First of all, the first thing is to think, this is a church. Well, this is a church, and it is done for a competition in which Eisman was invited, because Italy is a fantastic country of incredible contradiction, you know, this is funny. So, the Catholic Church decided to make a very important church for celebrating the year 2000. Invite architects. Basically, all the architects that are invited are Jewish.
are all Jewish.
There is not one single Catholic. Libeskind, Eichmann, Gary, Meyer, all Jewish. Then, in order to counterbalance, he has a Hinduist, Taoist architect, that he sta lavorando.
Okay.
Oh, I don't remember if there is any Italian architect invited to this. I don't remember, but was secondary. So anyway, there are five or six architects invited to that, and of course, being Rome, being the church, they did it almost the top of they were able to do it in that circumstance, within their language. Mm-hmm. The commission, at the end, gave the prize to Richard Meyer. Fine. But this is a much more interesting project. Much, much more. And let's see why. And now let's see how these things are all interconnected. First of all, let's see something that we can understand how it works. Okay. 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 What makes the things a little more complicated is there are two versions, actually. Because when he lost the competition, he made another project. So in his case, there are two things combined, but the idea are in some way similar. So anyway, let's put it like that. The church, on one side, is the church itself, right? And on the other part is the accessory spaces of the church. Let's say where the priests meet the... not I, the fedeli, and when there are some social activities, when the people go to get the catechism, etc., 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 and maybe where the priest lives also. So there is the ecclesial part, per se, and the accessory part, and these old churches are like that. So this will understand why there are two parts. Although, physically, we don't even understand why, because they are generating by the same field of forces. And this is read, looking in kind of orographic terms, as a river cracks rocks, right? Although, in the case of Eichmann, doesn't go from that direction, but we can interpret like that, although this is not his actually way of thinking, that belongs to another thing. But you can see that, if you look from an orographic point of view, it's like a river creates cracks in rocks, right? And again, as we understood, all things it is together, in a way. It belongs to a Unitarian thing where all the shapes and the things are interconnected. How the hell you can imagine a space in between that becomes the center of the church life? It's completely foreign. Is completely foreign to any typology of churches. Completely. But for Eichmann's point of view, the space in between is always the engine. And now, for the first time, I realize what it really is, and he never really, I'm sure he never thought about that. And this is the first time that I'm talking about that. And then I will tell you what is the strength of that space. I'll do a little search, okay, in order to solve this. You have to know, this is the first time that I'm telling this, but I think we give a higher sense to this. I wanted to show you one thing. I don't know if you, Levian and even Antonino, ever seen Anything concerning the Dietaro? Yes, so Antonino, yes. Yes, you, yes, I don't remember the time when these things arrived. Now you have to understand, in the Italian landscape, this idea of the crust and the idea of the excavation, of course there is a whole magic around it. The interesting thing is that for the Etruscan civilization, these crusts are creating by man, are done manually, they're not natural. So the Etruscan excavated path, long 500, 600 meters, for 15 meters of height. They were doing these things. They are doing these things. These are handmade. These are handmade, and there are many in Italy. And what they are, I cannot lecture of many other things concerning this, but I just wanted to have the sensation. What they are religious processional paths. That's why the Etruscans were doing. Were doing to create exactly a kind of religious mysticism. And this religious mysticism was related to the idea that land and divinity coincide. Because for them, the earth was the divinity. There is not such a thing as God. It's the earth itself that is a divinity. That's why this is a kind of pre-ecological thinking, a pre-systematic thinking. Because if you approach things like that, everything changes. So that's why it's the first time that I'm telling this, but I think it is illuminating to think that the space in between is the place, it's the most deep place of the religiosity in a way, is a very interesting idea, I think. But I never seen like that, but I think it is something that can illuminate it. I wanted to, let's try to see a movie shortly. So you have a sense of what I'm talking about. I will move it a little bit so we'll have time. I'm an alligator. I'm a mama papa coming for you. Okay, here they are. This is what we're talking about. These are not natural. These are excavated by men for this particular reason, to really have a religious processional path in which that kind of idea of integrity is celebrated, in which that idea of marriage with land is celebrated. So this is what are the Lietare, okay? The Lietare are this path, this processional path, excavated by men in the rock, okay? So, okay, this is just to have you the sense. So I never really interpret this with that category, and I'm sure Peter has no idea whatsoever, either of the Lietare or what you are saying this. But it's a very interesting thing, I think it is rather interesting, to look at that crack that is the secret of the project, in a way within that idea, no? It looks like a biacava, it's not a biacava this, okay? No? È convincente. It's rather convincing. Now there is another idea that is interesting. We thought about this idea that the lines that keep the things together create the kind of virtuality, let's say. Virtuality because you don't see the lines, but you understand they are there. In order to justify this, because how you can justify that? They had this idea, which is plausible in a way, you know, but it's a way to sell a product in a way. The idea is this one. And he said, all right, okay, since this one is over there in periphery, out there, what we are doing along all this part, We will transmit Papa Francesco making the Messa in the Vatican, and actually the people are here inside the crowd to assist the Messa. Okay? So, okay. Alright. It's a justification. So, here there is also the technology implied, because you have to justify this, you know? So the justification was this one. But, in a way, it makes quite sense, you know, the strength of this crack, how this crack is related to the to everything we said, how these things become a very expressive thing, changing completely the traditional way to think of the religious act. But at the same time, without evidently understanding, but with support, a rationale, I can talk to the commission of those priests, explain why this should be the right project. Right? Maybe I will lose the same. But there is a very strong rationale, an emotional rationale, to say why this is such an interesting project. And why, on the contrary, the project of Meyer, which is, by the way, is another of the New York Five. So the destiny, it is like that. Okay, now that everything is there, is the other one, you know, we don't have a Richard Meyer, but okay. I want to make you Richard Meyer. Yes, because you have the white thing, that's why. So what's your name? Yeah, Alexandro. Alexandro is our Richard Meyer. So Richard won this. He's again one of the guys of the New York Five. Okay, I want that just to show you briefly in 1 second. Okay. So this is the Church of Richard Meyer, okay? Which, of course, per se, is an interesting object. It's not a bad object. It has a problem with economical construction. We're not going to talk. It's not a bad project. Particularly the inside is rather pleasant, okay? But it's another story. You know, how can I say? The level of the intellectual discourse, the intellectual discourse that we can do, it's completely another level. Not only, it's not the thing of the intellectual discourse, it's the thing that can generate in your mind as a field of possibilities. Because these fields are also fields of possibilities for you. I mean, that is my idea, are fields of possibilities for you. Okay. Now, with this one, we arrive to the peak, okay, to the peak. So now we are flying a little bit easy, and then we have another peak, okay? Now we are flying a little bit. So basically, arrive to this point, Eichmann does is more the largest project that you can imagine. He won this competition for Santiago de Compostela. Santiago de Compostela is a town in Spain in which there is a very important path that goes from France to there. You know, it's an important path in the landscape that can, I think, can do 21 days, 31 days, I don't know how long, you know, it's an important thing. And Santiago de Compostela is this place, is this sanctuary, very important. And the city decides, they are completely folly, to make a huge project. It's a project that is like a town in itself. If you see in Google, it is interesting just to relax a little bit. Santiago de Compostela. Okay, let's go to the guys. Okay. Il satellite è qua, no? È questo, no? È quello il satellite. Ok.
Adesso lo sta vedendo come satellite, no? Dovrebbe. No, credo che queste siano... Ah no, sì, forse avete ragione. Ok, no, while he is doing, we can understand the size, because the size is everything about this. So to feel the size is everything. Saying that it's so slow, though. Anyway, you'll do it by yourself, huh? Because it takes too much time, it's too slow. I want to do this because I want to show you how smart is MAP. Andiamo con MAP. Okay. So let's see the time of reaction. Let's see how it compared to... No, San Giacomo. Che San Giacomo? Santiago de Compostela? Ok. Carlo di Santiago? No, ok. I'm too busy to do that. Anyway, so this is a really huge project. And this project is being organized basically as a kind of huge orographic landscape. With the little thing is that each of these things are really huge, really, really big. So, in a way, this had to be the celebration, let's say, at a almost territorial level of this idea. The problem with this is that it became so expensive, and the economy changed completely in the meantime, and the office of Eichmann, I was there looking, you know, the first floor of the office was full of this model. The model was built as this room, more or less. And then the whole office was working, not directly in working drawings, but in checking the working drawings of the Spanish architect. So at a certain moment, the Spanish said, okay, Peter, that's enough. I'll give you 3 or 4 million euros. Please go out of this. Take this and we'll take it. And so they are actually... They were supposed to develop. That was the situation when I was at Eichmann's studio in 2004. Short after was there, and then the economic crisis arrived. So this is a kind of, there are buildings that are finished. Everybody has been there, no? Okay. But anyway, it's a huge thing, but for us, for how we look at things, the peak point is not Santiago de Compostela. I don't care that Santiago de Compostela is 12 hectares of building matter. The church, to me, is more meaningful. See what I mean? There are more forces there. But anyway, one of the last projects, it is a simple project, that I think it is rather interesting. It is this little project that he did in Verona. I also wrote an essay about it. And if you put Castelvecchio, Peter, and me, you will find the essay that is also in English. This is a rather interesting one because you may call it an installation. Okay? You may call it an installation. Although it's not exactly an installation, it's something in between everything. The interesting thing about this project is that Castelvecchio is an old castle, is really a castle that is in Verona. This old castle in Verona is being known in the Italian culture because one of the One of the best Italian architects called Carlo Scarpa made a lot of interventions within this structure. So then it became a kind of masterpiece of how you do musealization, how you use a kind of contemporary language within within an existing structure, how you you move at all different levels in a kind of constant interplay of elements, of forces, of spaces, etc. So it's a kind of text about that. Carlo Scarpa really works about that. So it's an important place for architectural culture. It's not just something like that. So Peter was called to let's say to build a kind of installation, let's call it like that, in the garden of it. And this tells a lot about also how Italy lost, here we are in 2004, when he did that, 2006, probably a little years after. I don't remember exactly which year was that. 2003, I cannot locate it immediately. 2003, and then it was opened the next year. Oh, here he plays all these games, and it is interesting because it's a simple exercise in a way. So it's an exercise that you can do it in a way, no? First of all, there is a whole game of virtual and real. Let's imagine that there is a grid here, and this grid and this field in the same thing project its forces, not only in the garden itself, but also inside the museum. Of course, inside of the museum, you cannot create too much, but it's still creating something. So these little things that are inside the museum are important, because they're the kind of same idea, no? The virtuality, in a way, that ties these lines together and makes the thing together. So although minimal, but anyway, interplay the outside and the inside as a constituted by a common set of rules. And then the other thing is, clearly, this is done with a set of rules that you understand. These are conformation of landscape within a path, you know. And all these ideas that we saw together came in a project that is not exactly an installation. It is in between. Also, it is in between, and it is rather successful, I think. Although the stupidity of the people is incredible, after 1 year they dismantle it. So it's not there anymore. They dismantle it after 1 year. This tells you the long thing about many things. Bene. Okay, this is my essay about it. And in this one I made a little bit of the story of, it's called From Canareggio to Castelvecchio, who tell about this concept of layering, how the things changed, etc. So this is a text that will tell you a little bit about that. And here is, for example, this drawing. You understand the process. Although you can imagine without, a very interesting exercise for you will be just see the images and retro-thinking what was the diagrams, how it was done, etc. Basically, you should be able to imagine what was the process thinking that brought to these results. You should be able to, basically, no? Because you have the basic tool. So my idea was to look for the diagrams, but basically you should be able to understand what could be the diagrams already from what we said. You know, you can imagine what is the diagrammatical thinking that brought to this. No, questo non c'entra niente. Okay. So at this point we are approaching the end. Well, I'll do a little parenthesis that I call it the telluric formalism. So it's something that really is not very much built in the main ideas of Eichmann, something a little bit formal, let's say, more typical deconstructivist type of things. So they are not really belonging to the mainstream, the most things, but just to tell you that there are other buildings, for example, that we are not talking about. For example, this one, it is done in Japan. There are two buildings in Japan, particularly this one, that is based on this. This is the technique that it is a technique that I was told in America, that is I tell it to my friends, is the Marocchino effect, that in a way also apply here a little bit. That is the idea that you have a box, and then you concentrate the quality in certain parts, and you leave the rest of as a box, you know. It's a very pragmatic attitude. So here you can see that basically this is a very normal office building, elegant, but it's a very normal office building at the end, no? And then the whole game is concentrated here, that is a kind of fractal of it. Okay, interesting, fine. But you see that there is that exactly that approach, you know? You keep the thing as rational as possible, then you have a signature there, and you play with it. It's a pragmatic, effective, I'm not saying anything. But we cannot build a discourse out of that. And this is more or less similar thing. You have things that are sliding, that's it, that's sliding. Then you see in plan, it's a core building with two things attached to it on both sides. They slide a little bit, but that's it. It is not a long discourse. This picture is an interesting picture. This is almost 10 years ago. It's already 10 years ago, okay? It's 10 years ago, and we gave a Sapienza, a laurea honoris causa to Peter Eichmann, and probably that is also the highest point of our relationship, in a way. Then the path, in some way, went into everyone on his side. Basically, Peter started to have a rejection of the algorithmic information technology thinking. He started to put it out of his areas of interest and to start to be interested towards his prehistory in a way. So he's starting to relook at Palladio, he starts to relook at the formalism, he starts to even thinking an idea in which the autonomy of architecture, so architecture per se, becomes the system of value. And of course on that path, certain intellectual words that were different were automatically moved. They were not connected anymore because for different stories. So that's it. Now, may I have the book back, please? Questa è attaccata, me l'attacchi questa qua, grazie. Because I wanted to do it, it doesn't work. So I think it's not attached. Okay. Thank you very much. Thank you. So, what I wanted to do... questo voglio fare. I want to do the end of the book. So I won't go back to the book. So this is also the story of the book. You remember what Ledian said at the beginning, you know, although it's another moment. So I want to tell you a little bit something that is more personal in a way, is most you understand how culture moves, because we are also people that move culture in a way. So this is very relevant. It's very relevant for Antonino, Loris and Lelia, and probably a little bit less for others. But for them it's very relevant. So please be patient to follow this part. So this book is called Trivellazioni nel futuro. I told you how the book came out, Drillings in the Future. I told when I received the call, why I did, and then I thought this ossimoro, I called in Italian, when you put two terms, one in contrast with the other. So there is this, in the DNA of this book, there is an inner contradiction. How you are going about to do a drilling in the future. And this is also a contradiction in a way of the Eichmann personality as well. That on one side it was profoundly radicated on this, let's say, classical way of approaching architecture. And on the other side it's been open in different ways to new tools. So it's a series of involved, complex matters that also as things in life can go in one direction, can go in another direction. You don't know in which direction the things are going. And particularly in certain moments they go in one direction, and then they go in another direction. This book ends something that I completely forgot for years. He ends with, at the end of all this, imagine this lecture, the book, you can see the although if you look at if you read the book today, you will have really something interesting, but you will discover so many other things that come from the lecture that were not there in the book, because we are looking at these things 20 years after. I'm almost 20 years. I wrote the book in 95. We are in 2014. If you read the book, one or two of you, you will do it. Because you have the pleasure to do it, not because I'm telling you, because you have the pleasure to do it. It will be interesting for you after the lecture, because you have other layers that has been given you now that were not built 20 years ago. But at the same time, in the form of writing, you go deeper in understanding certain issues. So anyway, the book ends with sei domande, una risposta. So he ends up with this section that is very amazing, if you think, that sei domande for una risposta at the end of an essay on this, but it's all an effort that I was doing in that particular moment to write down an agenda in English means a program, something that with the rhetoric is that Eichmann has to do it. In reality, since the figure of the author and the figure of Eichmann himself tells this, are intervening, or basically are an agenda that, yes, rhetorically I said to him, but in reality I'm creating for myself and for the people that is working with myself, as a kind of a agenda of work, okay? But rhetorically are six questions to him, but all is a rhetoric. It's an artificial. So here they are, these six questions. I want to go very quickly. We have 9 minutes, but I think in 9 minutes we can see it and see how can touch this. And this is also a way to have a recap. Okay, so the first one. Trattatista di oggi. Okay, let me see if I can really have a little bit bigger. I cannot. Just for a little bit, but I cannot. I have to do it like this. Okay. So, first question. Trattatista di oggi means Eichmann makes a book, a trattato, a manual Eichmann non ha scritto un trattato dell'architettura come il Vitruvio, Alberti, Palladio. La fede di poter sintetizzare l'intera disciplina è giustamente svanita. It's not there anymore, the possibility to synthesize. Ma non bisogna sottovalutare la riflessione teorica e le tecniche di sviluppo progettuale che egli ha messo a punto in 6 lustri di accanita ricerca. Ricordiamo alcune. Let's forget some techniques that he put it together. The first one is the inclusion that we see in House 2 that comes from a combination of Terragni. The second one is the explosion of volumes on a structure that keeps together in the House 10. The other one is the technique of trivellazione. The other one is the in-between. The other is the blurring, etc. And then I'm saying, all these sono tecniche di progetto, non sono automatiche ricette. Conoscerle è importante per poterle riusare e magari combinarle ad altre. La loro applicazione delicata, the application of these techniques is delicate, but it's not difficult, né it's not unrealistic at all. It depends on Eichmann himself, and for ourselves, this is the idea that the program is a shared program. You have to understand when they are needed, when they reinforce basic characteristics of the design, when their use reveal with the magic of art, their necessity, their absolute necessity. Sfidiamo i lettori, I will challenge you to find another architect that has created so many techniques that are useful for us. Okay? First question. Second question, or second projection, is this idea of existence minimum or existence maximum. Look at this technique, Antonino. This is the draft. So when I was not sure of something, I always put this a Y sign, and the Y sign means I'm not sure. So if we go and check the final book, probably this section is not there anymore. I don't remember. But that means that this is not the final. This is the pre-final. So I use this technique to put the Y sign when so I can easily search where are the places of things. So this is a whole concept about the idea that we are extending really the richness, the capabilities, the understanding of contemporary man through this attitude. So the idea is that existence minimum was really the idea eradicated in the first generation of modern architecture. Then you are really dealing with needs, basic needs through standards. Here, in 96, we were in a very positive cultural and positive thing. In 1996, we have no idea of what was going to happen afterwards. We have no idea of the crisis, of the economical crisis of 2001, to the economical crisis, anything. So everything was both the idea of this enlargement and this mass move expansion of the thing. Here I will telling the informatico versus meccanico. I will read in Italian. L'ambizione difficilissima che Eichmann persegue è trovare una via per dare struttura dinamica al grande, immenso paradigma che ci sta svolgendo tutti in questo millennio. L'energia della conoscenza, che come un fiume in piena straripa all'esterno, le griglie sovrapposte intrinsecanti dello spazio urbano, sterrate archeologicamente, il gioco allusivo della città fortificata, il fossile incantato, eccetera, 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 ma anche le sue dislocazioni, il cubo informatico, il DNA, is also a way to recap. This series of suggestion and idea becomes from Eichmann a fundamental aspect of a text that does not screen anymore the absolute meaning of syntax of his first phase, but he opens to the ambiguity and complexity of the contemporary world of knowledge. Are these right questions? Are real good answers? We don't know. Or is a way to auto-legittimare, give you an auto credit. is this a street that is open to go through, or it is a banalization of phenomenon, etc. Hanno questo, and here is the key question. Hanno queste operazioni la capacità di parlarci di un paradigma informatico, come quelle della nuova architettura ci parlavano di un paradigma meccanico? The answer they maturate molto lentamente. It's clear for us today that Eichmann is looking, and who wants to look? Yes, he is as a good companion. So it's very interesting that in this moment I already talked about the opening of our informatic paradigm as something different. And again, in this moment, the book series was not there. So I didn't have any idea that I was going to do that next job. And simultaneità, controvelocità, these are interesting concepts, but I don't go and go about. We have only 3 minutes. And la chiave nel piccolissimo, this is amazing. Basically through this, I was kind of putting at the basis a kind of systematic thinking. I was thinking about the interrelationship between science, the scientific approach, and this idea that something is happening within this other area. So when I was telling La Chiave del Piccolismo, I'm talking here of Capra. I'm telling maybe the answer we'll find in the very, very little. When Fray Capra, Tra I Grandi, among one of the greatest person that showed to the world what is the contemporary science right, in the contrast with the vision mechanicist and Cartesianian, the vision of the world of today physics and today science can be characterized with words like organic, holistic, and ecologic. This can also be called a systematic vision, exactly in the sense of a theory, a general theory of system. The universe is not seen as a machine anymore, composed by a multitude of objects, but as unity of an indivisible, dynamic unity, among which the different parts are interrelated and can be understood as patterns. All right? So we are telling these things with this time. This is a kind of agenda for him. Rhetorically it's for him, in reality it's for us, even more it's for myself. So this ends in this way with these things. I want to finish in this moment. So this is how the book ends like this. So it ends with this projection towards the future. So I think this is important to think, and then it ends again with this episode, that is the first time I will explain that modernity for us is the capability to face the challenge, basically to face the challenge, to work on the challenge, and to work on that. Is the idea, is an anti-modern attitude, exactly that which you operate in now, that you go back and rely on the kind of set of very autonomous, very rigid, and very classical in a bad sense of rules. All the effort here was to move through his work everything further. So that's what it is. 1 minute after what is supposed, but I think you accept that. Bene. I had all the prize. Okay? So is that now we are like a football team. In reality, when I was explaining to other teachers how I see myself as a teacher, I always imagine that I am the trainer of a team. In reality. So what we are doing now is from the theoretical part, we are moving in the exercise, physical part. So I had to do this in order to go to the physical part. So now we are doing the physical part. So this afternoon, we do that. So we understand how to move all this into action, how you play, how you actually play. Okay, and then you do it. Okay? A che ora ci vediamo, realisticamente però, eh? 2:15. 2:15 with the same rule, okay? Is 2:15 serious? It's not 2:15 that needs 2:30.
No,
2:15, okay? That means that I will be in the room at 10 minutes after 2. We put the same system, okay? After 2:15, 2 euros, so we get the party at the end. Okay? 2:15, we have here 10 minutes to 10. Questa l'ho fatta apposta per voi.